Welcome to Prove All Things, number 15. Today is September 10th, 2020. The main topics today are Charleston Rally, a presentation to the Randolph County Commission, and Kentucky pastor Dana Coverstone's prophetic dreams. A West Virginian, Cody Nelson, has organized an open West Virginia rally on the north steps of the Capitol building. Our country is under attack. The rally is intended for such a time as this. The rally is to alert our representatives of the ignoring of cold, hard facts concerning the alleged COVID pandemic. Such as facts from the CDC that surgical masks are not protective. Also fact, CDC states that only 6% of the COVID deaths are COVID only, and that there are, on the average, 2.6 comorbidities in the other 94%. Also fact, CDC reports that West Virginia death totals for all causes in the first 7 months of 2020 is less than the first 7 months of 2019. So where is the pandemic? Our county and state are definitely under attack. Question, is this state and country worth fighting for? Also, I will make a presentation of this information to the Randolph County Commission on Thursday, September 17th at 1:30 p.m. Please attend to lend your support. Before I begin the main segment, which is the first part of a Zoom video of guest pastor Dana Coverstone recounting the dreams he's had over the past 9 months, I am going to share two verses of scripture about fear and confusion and a short video involving these feelings. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God bless.
Yeah, I really don't understand why everybody isn't following the same rules right now. They're very clear, so let's take a minute and let's go over them again. First, you must not leave the house for any reason, unless, of course, you have a reason, and then you may leave the house. All stores are closed except those that are open, and all stores must close unless, of course, they need to stay open. This virus is deadly, but don't be afraid of it. It can only kill people who are vulnerable and also those who are not vulnerable. We should stay locked down until the virus stops infecting people. And it will only stop infecting people if enough of us get infected that we build immunity. So it is very important that we get infected and also do not get infected. You should not go to the doctor's office or the hospital unless you have to go there. Unless, of course, you are too sick to go there. This virus has no effect on children except for those children in which it affects. The virus remains active on different surfaces for 2 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours, but in most cases it's days and not hours, and it needs a damp environment or a cold environment that is warm and dry in the air, unless the air is plastic. Schools are closed, so you need to homeschool your children unless you can send them to school because you are not home. If you are at home, you can school your children using various portals and online classrooms unless you have poor internet, more than one child, only one computer, or you are working from home. Baking cakes can be considered math, science, or art. If you are home educating, you can include household chores within their education curriculum. And if you are home educating, you may start drinking at approximately 10 a.m. every day. If you are not home educating children, you may also start drinking at approximately 10 a.m. Masks are useless at protecting you against the virus, but you still need to wear one because it can save lives. And in some cases, it may even be mandatory, but also maybe not. You must not go to work, but you can get another job, at which point you may go to work. Stay home. I don't know how many more celebrities we need to have tell you how important it is to go outside and take care of your mental health. There is no shortage of groceries in the supermarket. There are simply many things missing. You don't need to go buy a bunch of toilet paper, but you should buy some in case you need it. If you are sick, you may go out once you are better, but those in your household, they cannot go out once you are better unless, of course, they need to go out. Animals are not affected by the virus, except for that cat that tested positive in Belgium in February, plus a couple tigers. The number of corona-related deaths will be announced daily, but we don't know how many people are infected because we were only testing those who are almost dead to determine if that's what they will die of. The people who die of corona who are not counted won't or will be counted, but maybe not. To help protect yourself during these times, you should be eating well and exercising, but exercising only eating what you have at home to avoid going to the stores unless you need toilet paper or a fence panel. It's important to get fresh air, but don't go to parks, but do go walk in other places. Just don't sit down unless you are old or pregnant. But if you do sit down, don't sit for too long. Unless you are old and you are pregnant, in which case you need to sit down. But if you do sit down, don't eat unless you've had a long walk, which you are allowed to do if you are old or pregnant, except for times in which you aren't. Don't visit old people, but you have a moral obligation to take care of old people and bring them food and medicine. And finally, no businesses will go down due to coronavirus except those businesses that go down due to COVID-19. I hope this cleared up any questions about what we should and should not be doing during this time. Please educate your friends and family with this information so we can remove any and all confusion surrounding this time. Thank you.
I'm honored you did do this, and I know this was a burden on you. It's been a burden on me. That I told you before, when we talked before, that ever since the first of the year, I've been sensing something in November. I didn't know what it was. How do you explain it when you have a feeling in your gut, we call it, that feels like a big lump, and that's how I've been sensing it, and this is coming. But I didn't have the details of it like you were showing. I just knew November is going to be a nasty time in America. Actually, it's worldwide, but America for sure. But exactly. I want you to make yourself to home and just to enjoy yourself. Now, you're talking to a few people here in this room, and it will be going worldwide on computer and different things. But share with us, if you don't mind, Dana, in sequence, the dreams you received and what the Holy Spirit's been trying to tell you and tell us to listen to.
That lump you talk about, I've got the word for that. It's unction. It's that fire that's burning in your bones, like Jeremiah had. It had to come out.
Yes.
And that's what it was. But I've had a few more I can share. But I'll just kind of start. And one person has said, you know, it seems like you're having a movie. And sometimes it feels like a movie because the pieces were coming together. And some of them don't seem like they fit, but then they do. Monday night, December 16th, 2019, I had a dream. I woke up alarmed. I'd seen a calendar. I saw the month of January. And I saw a hand flip it up to February, then it moved to March. And then I saw an index finger underline the month of March and tap the calendar three times. And then I saw April, May, it landed on June. And this time the index finger appeared again and underlined June. And then the finger tapped three times. At that moment, the calendar disappeared and I started seeing groups of people wearing masks. I saw people coughing. I saw people having trouble breathing.
One second, brother. You saw on this dream people wearing masks before people knew what they were doing with masks. You saw this
And I told this dream to eight different men on December 17th, that Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night, I pray with a group of guys. I told them what I saw. I told them what I heard in the dream. I told six accountability partners that I have online every single Sunday afternoon. I send something out about my life for the week. So, and I put a video up from two of those guys saying they'd heard it, they'd seen it. I saw those things. I saw hospitals that were overwhelmed. I saw tired medical officials, and I saw empty streets. I saw closed buildings. I saw quiet landscapes. I saw like America had shut down. I saw reporters, and they were informing the public of the word pandemic in big headlines. And reporters were also saying it was spreading all over the world. And then I saw state capitals, courthouses being surrounded by protesters. It was almost like it just kind of morphed from people that were sick to protesters. I saw courthouses being surrounded by protesters. I saw people marching with clenched fists in the air. I saw buildings on fire. I saw looting. I saw chaos. And I saw people hiding in their houses, looking out their windows in fear. And then I saw vultures flying all over major cities. I mean, Washington, D.C., Nashville, Louisville, St. Louis, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, all these different cities. I saw darkness and I saw lightning. And then a white figure showed up, got real close to me and said, "Brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself." And that dream troubled me enough that I was up most of the rest of the night and spoke to the men that next Tuesday night. And we prayed and I said, "Guys, I'm going to tell you this dream I've had." I told them the whole dream over dinner. We pray for an hour and a half, then we go out and eat lunch and or eat dinner and talk in your fellowship. And I said, "This is the dream I had. I want you guys to know what I saw," and I shared all those things. So, well, by the time we get to March, I had to get my daughter from college because they'd shut down. Things started shutting down. And these guys were saying, "Pastor, you watch the news. Are you seeing this? Did you hear about this?" And these guys that I shared the dream with start to call me and start to text me and start to send me news clips and say, "Hey, are you watching this?" And so about middle of March, I mentioned to the congregation, "Hey, guys, I had a dream." And I've been sharing the brace yourself message with them. I just said, "Church, we got to brace ourselves. 2020 is going to be hard." And I said, "I've already told these guys from March to June, we're going to see something pretty tough in America." So I shared the whole dream with my congregation. We began to pray even more, listening more. And then, of course, the riots happened in Minneapolis, and the things started happening, and the different protesting movements started. And then Monday night, June the 22nd, 2020, I had the second dream along the same lines. And the calendar appeared. It showed June, July, August, September. When it hit September, that finger appeared again, and it underlined September, and it tapped it three times. And then I saw it flip to October. I saw it flip to November. When it got to November, the index finger underlined November, and then it balled into a fist, and it punched that calendar with a lot of force. And the calendar goes crashing back into the wall, and the numbers, it was like three-dimensional numbers, go flying off of the calendar. And then all of a sudden, I see literally very, very destructive violence going on in the streets. I see people who are screaming, yelling, pushing each other. I see police lines. I see chaos. But I also see more people wearing masks. I see longer lines at hospitals. I saw people, and those lines were along the city blocks. And I saw masks, people carrying oxygen tanks. And I saw headlines that said, you know, these people are dying at a faster rate than they were before during COVID.
Man, and so what I would... I'd like to interject one thing here, please, if you don't mind.
Sure.
In July, Marsh and I went down to Tijuana, Mexico, at the Biocare Hospital to just do a checkup, a tune-up. We had the stem cells in our blood redone and re-injected. But Lindsey Weems is there. Are you familiar with a guy named Lindsey Weems?
That name sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
He was a pastor for a long time. He brought forth a lot of information over the years. We were talking down there, and there's a gentleman he knows. I don't want to mention his name on air, but he said in September, there'll be another, middle of September through October, into October, there'll be another disease or some kind will come forth that will make COVID nothing in appearance. It's going to be for real this time. Okay, and as you know, the 17th this month, BLM and Antifa intend to surround the White House,
right,
and keep it barricaded until Election Day. Now, what's going to happen there? But the middle of this month, you just mentioned September, something's going to happen to expedite this. So exponentially. So anyway, well, what Lindsey said from his sources, and now I know who the source is, that starting this month, something's going to happen again to make this coronavirus, we know it has been a hyped up scamdemic. But the next one's going to be for real. Well, for what you see now, people lined up in the hospitals, this could be happening. I'll let you know that. Go ahead.
I do believe that. But there, people were very, very sick. It was worse than COVID. And the damage, the physical damage it was reaping on people was abysmal. And then I saw more protesters yelling, screaming. I saw violence 100 times greater than what I'd seen in the first dreams. I saw fighting in the streets, rocks being thrown all through the air, cars being burned, properties being burned, homes being burned. And people were yelling in unison, marching together, and they had a very, very ill-willed intent. And I saw those vultures again. But now the vultures weren't vultures. They looked like gargoyles. they were attacking people 10 to 15 feet off the ground, swooping down with their beaks, with their claws. And I saw explosions all over the country. I saw explosions in Washington. I saw explosions in Philadelphia, Louisville, Nashville, St. Louis, bigger cities, Los Angeles especially. And the big thing I saw in this dream was law enforcement officers all over the country kneeling on the ground and surrendering their authority. What they were doing, this was not in front of protesters. This was almost like they were saying, we can't do anything. They were handing in their badges and their guns, but they were kneeling. And then I saw Washington, D.C. I was standing in the National Mall. I saw dark clouds, skies over the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, and they were very dirty, almost like pollution had just gotten out of hand. Sky around the White House was very dark gray, and the curtains of the Oval Office were closed, and there was no activity at all. There was not even a mouse, so to speak, stirring in the White House. No chiefs of staff, no executive officers. The White House was completely empty. I mean, no sign of the president, no sign of anybody. And then I'm standing in a room, and I'm looking at, it's a conference room, like a conference table, and there were a bunch of current elected senators, very high-ranking senators whose names everybody would know, and there were briefcases on these tables. And looking out through the window, I could see people yelling, screaming, running in fear, explosions, fire. Everything outside was chaos, but inside this room, all of these senators were very, very calm, very cool, very collected. And with you know, outside it's crazy, inside it's not. But there was no House representative members there. It was just senators. And then a former senator who's not been in office for many years stood up and literally opened up a briefcase and handed these class business envelopes out to everybody. And those men took it. They shook their hands, thanked him for what they were getting. And then they're walking out of the room. And they've been looking at their watches, looking outside, but they were just calm, not concerned at all. And now they're sneering, laughing, walking out calmly out into that chaos, walking out with not a fear in their mind. And that's when I saw banks, and the roofs were kind of tilted straight up, and I saw money being sucked out like a vacuum cleaner was over the top of them. I saw it was almost like they'd taken safety deposit boxes and just dumped them, emptied them, and stuff is just flying into the air. And I sensed in the dream, and I say this in the dream, it seemed like a transfer of wealth. There were people who appeared to be in shambles, dirty clothes, broken down homes, broken down vehicles, poverty just abounding. And then I saw Russian and Chinese soldiers with blue United Nations helmets with the Russians telling the Chinese to go and secure certain quadrants and regions in various places in the states. And
one more time, I'll interject something here. You probably don't know this, but some of the major cities in the United States are wanting to disband the police departments. You know that already.
Oh, yeah.
But they are asking for police from the UN. They're asking the city and UN policemen to police their cities. The only place in the world that they train UN police is China.
Yep.
So so your dreams are starting to really come about here. And, of course, your dreams line up with what Dimitri Dudeman said back in the 80s. You know that also.
You said too in his dreams.
I've heard of him. I've not read his books, his prophecies. I've heard a lot about him from many people. I've got some of his things ordered. They just haven't got here yet.
Yeah, this has been talked about. And a young preacher lives in Syria here. Actually, married one of Phil's daughters. His name is Tyler Arbogast. I had a dream or a vision, I guess you could say, in his kitchen. He just fell out in the kitchen and had a dream about the coastal cities in the U.S. being bombed. Mm. The same thing that Dudeman said, coastal cities being bombed. New York City, Los Angeles, Miami, places like that. Go ahead now. I'm sorry.
That's fine. And I also saw like classrooms, and these classrooms they had spider webs, cobwebs, and I'm not like school classrooms, elementary, middle school, high school classrooms, college classrooms. And they were basically like posters were falling off the walls. There was cobwebs, almost like they'd not been in use for a while. But the Chinese and Russian soldiers were telling people to go secure certain quadrants and regions. It was not like an occupation, but they were like taking care of something, like, you know, like from a national disaster or something like that.
UN
I'm not
police,
saying that's what was
UN
going
police.
On.
UN police, maybe that's what it is. UN police, perhaps.
It could be.
Yes.
And then I saw more flashes, more explosions all over the nation, larger protests, more violence. And that white figure appeared, and he said, brace yourself and endure until the end. And that's when I woke up, and my heart rate was like was 180 beats a minute according to my Fitbit. And I was up the rest of the night, and I thought, okay, that first dream I saw, those things came true. So I got, so I shared with the guys Tuesday night. I said, guys, I've had this second dream, and you know, the first one's come true. I got to know what to do. And so they prayed with me, and they all felt, you need to put a video out, put this on Facebook or something tomorrow. And so I came home that night, went to bed thinking, I'll do that. And that's when I had the next dream, the coin shortage dream. And when I first got up, I thought, that doesn't fit with the others, but I felt led to do it. But here's what happened. Tuesday night, June 23rd, I dreamt I'd gone to a local bank in town, and our church was going to be doing a yard sale, rummage sale, to raise money for a team going to Ecuador this next year. And I walked into the bank, so we needed quarters for this yard sale. So I walked in the bank, and there's a sign on the door that says, we have no change. And I noted the sign in the dream and walked in, and it wasn't just a normal teller. It was the president of the bank. She was the teller that day. And I said, hey, I need $10 and quarters. And she said, I'm sorry, but the bank no longer has change because the Federal Reserve is no longer minting change. And I said, well, how can I charge $1.50 for something? And she said, well, you'll have to charge $2 and because hyperinflation is coming. And then she said, oh, and by the way, ones and fives will soon follow. And so I wake up, I have that dream, and I thought, that doesn't seem like it fits. It wasn't a calendar. But I thought, you know, But at the same time, I felt the unction, that lump, I got to get this out there. So next morning, June 24th, I got up. I put that dream. I sat here at the desk I'm sitting at. I had no script. I'd written down some of the notes, but that was about it. Put my phone up, record the video, and loaded it to Facebook. And once again, I never put it on YouTube. We went later on and put it on our YouTube channel because my son was like, Dad, you're getting so many hits. But after I posted it first, somebody else put it on YouTube. But anyway, and then by Friday, that Friday, the signs started going up about Friday, you know, yeah, Friday, June the 26th, the signs started going up about coin shortages all over the country. And so, and that, I think people saw that part of it, or the ones that had read the whole thing, you know, watched the whole video, after they started to see the coin shortage thing was happening, I'd seen that in a dream, they said, hey, you know, this guy's seen something, so watch the rest of it. And that's when it started being shared just massively. Then that later that not that week, Thursday, June the 25th, I had the dream about I was looking down at a field at night. And the field was full of wolves and they were sleeping. And these were dark furred wolves. I mean, just mean spirited. So they were so dark. They were sleeping, not moving. And I saw a figure come rushing in that was covered entirely in black. No face, no color, no race. It was just a black figure, you know, totally in black. If you're familiar with the Lord of the Rings trilogy by Tolkien, it was almost like a ring wraith. But the figure walked in. He had a large whip, what appeared to be a metal bolt at the end of it. And he started hitting those sleeping wolves. And he was hitting every single one of those wolves. He was whipping them into a frenzy. And they were crying out in pain, hostility. They growled at their attacker, but they would not rush him or approach him or threaten him. So he was obviously their master. And the more he beat him, the more their eyes began to glow red, almost like an LED light that glowed off all the wolves. And he whipped them until every single one of them had been hit. And then they're growling, they're bristling. And suddenly they get in a circle around the figure. And it looks just like he's in the middle. And everybody else, all the wolves are just packed, you know, feet behind him. But they're in a circle. And he put his arm out. And he points in one direction, and he just turns. So literally, as he's turning, his finger is pointing every direction. And he said, literally, gruffly spoke, he said, go into the cities. And those wolves took off running as fast as they could. They were growling. They were nipping each other. They were headed in all directions. And then the scene changed. And I was in a room where I saw a huge wall with like 1,000 TV screens. But on every one of those screens, I saw pastors, missionaries, preachers, people I recognized, people I didn't, people that I'd never seen before, people that I knew, you know, pastors that I've served in ministry with for years. And I saw men and women, they were black, they were white, they were women, they were older, they were younger, every race, every color, every creed you can imagine. But these people were preaching a very hard and aggressive gospel. Each of them was covered in sweat. And the harder they preached, the harder they were sweating. And over all their heads, it was like a cloud of steam just because they were so animated and so heavily preaching the truth. And then I'm standing in my own pulpit, and I'm preaching to people in my own church. And these are people that I recognized. But up near the front of me, near the altar where I'm preaching, there's a core group. I'm not going to use the word remnant, because remnant has to do with the Jewish people. But there was a core group of people who I know are the prayer warriors, the leaders, the workers, the teachers, the helpers. And they were just pleading with Jesus. They were praying for me as hard as they could. But in the pews, in the chairs, there were people looking at their watches, looking at their phones. They were half asleep. They weren't listening. They were looking, you know, hey, I need to get out of here. They were just preoccupied, distracted. But that core group was there on their knees praying for me. And then I'm watching the screens again. And I realize that every pastor on the screens has the same thing I have. They got people that aren't listening, but they got a core group of people that are praying for them, standing with them, trusting the Lord to do great things. But there's multitudes in those chairs that are not listening. And at that moment, there were howls outside the church. Nobody in the seats turned around. Everybody at the altar turned around because they knew what was going on, and they began to pray more aggressively. And the wolves came in the doors, and they began to climb up and sit next to the people who were distracted. And the people had no idea they're sitting next to a wild animal, you know, a potentially rabid animal. And they start stroking the animals' backs and necks. And the more the people are preaching, and I'm preaching, all of a sudden the wolves get agitated. And they start bumping against the people that are sleeping. And they start not necessarily nibbling on their ears, but they're trying to get their attention. And they're provoking the people. And then the people stand up and they say, "Shut up, stop preaching, quit preaching that. We don't want to hear that. That's not right. That's a lie. That's not fair."
Yes, yes,
yes. Yeah. And then the people are getting angry. Some are leaving. Some are mocking. But that's when the wolves came up to the pulpit, and they began to circle the pulpits, and they were nipping at our legs. They started biting our legs. But the pastors and myself, we just kept preaching the truth, but it was causing great pain. And then I saw on the screens, some of those preachers were being pulled to the ground, people that I knew. Myself being pulled to the ground by multiple wolves and just mauled, but we kept preaching the gospel. We kept pushing it out there, and they would not stand down. The pastors would not stand down. And the last image that I saw was blood-covered, scarred preachers. They were leaning on their pulpits, and they were still preaching as hard as they could. Some of them were dying in those pulpits, but they just kept preaching. They just kept preaching. They just kept preaching until the message ended. And then I saw a courtroom. I saw gavels coming down. I saw judges that were angry and just hostile. I saw judges pointing at men and women and telling them to stop preaching the gospel, to stop condemning certain lifestyles, to stop demonizing abortion. That was the one thing that stands out. Stop demonizing abortion, they were preaching. And also to stop being discriminatory against people's choices and lifestyles. And I saw oak wooden pulpits being chopped to bits with axes. I saw plexiglass and acrylic pulpits being hammered into pieces. And I saw people surrounding Christians and believers and throwing things at them and mocking them and threatening them. And then I woke up and I realized that I was seeing persecution that's coming to church, and that a lot of that persecution that I was seeing was actually coming from within the church, from those people who have either gone off to college and instead of getting educated, got indoctrinated. Or they've just decided they don't want to hear what mom and dad were preaching or teaching, or I don't need that gospel. The people that, you know, grandma went to the church, there I go to church, so I'm good enough. Those people are the ones that are going to rise up and say, "Wait a minute, this is all, I don't believe this anymore. I'm going to walk away from it." Which is why in the gospels we see Jesus saying, you know, mother will turn against daughters and sons will turn against his parents and brother against brother and those things. So a lot going on. There's one other dream that I had on June 26th. That whole week I had dreams. And this is one that I've not shared publicly. I've got it in my notes, and people that have read my notes have seen it. But on Friday night, that 26th, I saw the beaches of Normandy, Omaha, and Utah. And in 1990, I had a chance to walk those beaches. And I'll tell you, as an American citizen whose father was on the tarmac ready to go to Japan during World War II, when they dropped the bomb, I'd always wanted to see that place. And that is a haunting place, just like the Holocaust death camps. I've been to five of those, and that's another story. But I've walked those beaches in Normandy, and I've seen the gun turrets the Germans used just to blast our American soldiers. So they got off those boats, and cried like a baby, because it just reinstituted in me the bravery and the courage that those Americans, those 18 and 19-year-old kids had when they got off those boats and stormed that shore. And they did it to stop not just Hitler, but communism and then socialism, the things that we see today. But I was on those beaches, I saw the gun turrets that the Germans were still there. I saw black figures with weapons on those turrets, attending them. And on the water coming towards the beaches, I saw what appeared to be colonial ships, very large sails. Like the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. It was like 400 years of history of ships. And that's what I've gotten from looking at it now, like colonial and naval ships. And each of the ships had people on the top of them pointing to the shores and saying, get to the beach, get to the beach. And I saw on the top of the hill, they began to shoot cannons and missiles. And so what I was seeing the weaponry of over 400 years. It went from cannonballs to muskets to AR-15s to missiles to off of, for carriers. It was 400 years of history I was seeing back to the 1600s. But none of the cannonballs or the bullets or the missiles were hitting the ships. And those ships just kept coming as hard as they could. And then I saw at the bottom of the ships, there were people praying. And they were intercessing. They were aggressively praying for the safety of the people on those ships. And the closer they got to the beach, the more the storm of weapons was hitting them. And the safety of the ships was in danger. The closer they got to the beach, you could just see even more warfare coming. And then I saw that the ships had been hit. And some of them were starting to sink. And I was shown the inside of those ships. And there were still inside those ships, there were indeed people praying and trusting, aggressively believing God for victory. But some of those ships were sinking, and they were never going to make it to the shore. My thought in the dream was, well, that ship is sinking. They must not have people praying. No, there were people praying. They were trusting God to get them there. They just never made it to the shore. And I saw naval gunships with people inside them praying, with commanders on top steering the ships towards the shore. And some of them made it. But some of these ironclad military vessels, they were struck as well. And I was seeing the intensity of the warfare against the church of America for 400 years or a little over that, but seeing those things happen. And I was seeing Hebrews 11, that the hall of faith. I was seeing those people hiding in the caves, those that were killed. And I was realizing that God was showing me that it rains on the just and the unjust, and that you can preach the gospel all your life and not see the converts you want to see. You can do everything you can for the gospel, and sometimes those seeds just never get the rain they need or the water they need. But those people, there were people wearing pilgrim clothing and modern clothing and military clothing, and yet some of those ships were getting sunk. And I was seeing this in the context of the years of history of this country, from the time Columbus found this country, from the time that the pilgrims came and Plymouth Rock, and the freedom, the religion that we had, the faith that we're able to have, because we left King George, and King George came after us because he did not want to lose his people or his slaves, so to speak, or those that would buy into the kingdom. But the closer those ships got to shore, the enemy began to exponentially throw more and more and more and more at them. And there were victories and there were defeats for the church. Even though they'd prayed, even though there was intercessions, I was just seeing some powerful things happen. Now, the other dream, the next dream that I had, the number six, this was a vision, and this is what I had on the platform. And you know I'm a Pentecostal, and this has a Pentecostal aspect to it. And I can share it or not. I don't want to offend anybody that's listening, but this is just the vision that I saw. So would you want me to go ahead and share this one
sure.
as well?
Sure.
Okay. I was on the platform praying at my church. It's about a month ago, and I saw a lone rectangular room, no windows, one door leading outside. On the ground, there were about eight people, and they were all dressed in white robes like you'd see in a Middle Eastern setting, and kneeling. They were kneeling with their hands tied behind their backs, and they were men, and they were women. They were black, and they were white, other nationalities on the line, and they were all praying very, very loudly in tongues in the Holy Spirit. And I knew this because the languages did not match the cultural faces of those that were praying, and there was a man walking behind them the entire time with a whip in his hand. Dark figure, covered head, with like a hood. And he stood behind the first person. He said, I want you to stop praying in tongues. Stop praying in the spirit. And that first person began to pray even louder in tongues, greater intensity. And then that hooded figure, he lifted that whip and he began to beat that man's back and the back of his head and his hands. And the person just kept praying, even though the guy was yelling and screaming at him to stop praying in the spirit. And that person prayed louder and louder, and the whipping just intensified until finally that guy was unconscious on the ground, but he was still mumbling. He was still mumbling in tongues. He was, and then the guy just beat him into unconsciousness. And the next person, the guy came behind, and he said, okay. He changed the weapon. It wasn't a whip anymore. It was like almost like a flagellum, like Rome would have used. And he said, I want you to stop praying in the spirit, because all those people kneeling were praying out loud, very aggressively and loudly in tongues. And that person began to pray more intensely, so the beating started. And the attack was very, very significant. And this person praying began to whimper. And at that point, the hooded person said, I'll stop beating you if you stop praying in tongues. But the praying continued, and the beating grew aggressive. And that prayer person was curled up in the fetal position. And he said, okay, I'll stop. And the hooded man untied the person, and they limped out the door. And the hooded figure said again, I'm going to tell you, if you will stop praying in tongues, stop praying in the spirit, stop praying in that powerful language, I will not beat you. And yet the other people that were there, they continued praying. So the hooded figure got a different weapon, stood up behind him, and started just immediately hitting that person. And I told a lady in my church, her name is Linda Griffiths. I said, Linda, I just had a dream. I got to tell you about this. And I believe for one reason that we were seeing, you know, the persecution that came in the church, the opposition's coming, especially to people who are preaching the word. And as a pastor, we better get ready, because there's a generation and a group of people out there that does not want to hear what we say. And as a Pentecostal, I believe one of the greatest tools that God gave the church was the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe one of the things that believers can do is, if you're praying in the Spirit, there's something different about the way you pray. And the enemy knows the power of that weapon, and basically is saying he wants to shut it down. He wants to stop it, because he understands that weapon in and of itself could change. It's going to give people the strength to go through it, but also the power to press through it. The next dream I had was Friday night, July 10th. It was the September Psalm Assembly dream. And I saw the calendar turn to September. The last I had seen, you know, was June in that sense. But hand reached up and pulled the entire month of September down and laid it on the ground. And the place it was put was in our secret place prayer room. And I know that room. We got an altar. We got horns I can hold on to. And on both ends of that altar, we've got some beautiful pictures of Jesus and the end times and his return, healing, miracles, and the Spirit. And I knew where it was, and I was told in the spirit to stand on that calendar and begin to on that month of September, begin to pray. And I was to pray for the church to have a strong backbone, for corruption to be exposed in the church, and for a great harvest. So I stand on that for several minutes, and I'm praying, God, I prayed those things, and the Lord spoke, and he said, you are not enough. You need more help. Please get more people to pray. So I began to yell and holler, folks, I need you to come. I need you to pray. God's asking us to pray for these three things. And pretty soon, the calendar is getting bigger below my feet, and I'm kind of up in the air looking down, and it takes on the contours of the United States of America. And I'm standing somewhere around Idaho on Tuesday, September 1st. After I got done with the dream, I actually went to the calendar, turned my phone on, looked at my calendar to find out what day is September 1st. And lo and behold, it was September 1st. It was on a Tuesday. So as I'm praying, other people start joining me on this calendar on the map. And the map starts to fill up a little bit. And there were some praying in tongues, some praying loud, some praying quietly. There was some kneeling, some prostrate. And then the Lord spoke again and said, you are all not enough. We need more people. You need more help. Please call. And so all of us now are calling out. We're not praying. We're calling out, folks, we need you to come. We need you to pray. We need you to stand with us. Something's coming. Something's going on. God needs us to pray. And suddenly, it was like the white space on the counter starts to fill up. And every ounce of white space was gone by the time I get to this part of the dream. And now I'm in the air looking down, and I see the words over September. And I see the finger appear, and it writes the words A Solemn in front of September and the word Assembly after September. So I'm seeing the words A Somber September or Solemn September Assembly. It was a clear call to preach that month. And that's when I saw the numbers of the people kept growing. The white space was gone. And now people are praying very aggressively. They're praying hard. There's sweat dripping off of us. And then I saw warfare in the heavens. I saw angels and demons. I heard the clashing of swords. I saw the fights. I saw the explosiveness of the fights and the battles in the spirit world that we cannot see. And there were demons and angels going at it. But I also saw incredible warfare among people. It was like believers were holding each other up. There were people with bruises on their arms and the back of their necks and their heads. I saw people kneeling because they were so exhausted. And these people were praying, but they were broken and they were wounded and they were standing and they were kneeling, but they were helping each other up. And then it seemed like the battle went on forever. But finally, my eyes were drawn towards the end of the month, the 29th and 30th of the month, and the 30th is on a Wednesday. And I saw people standing up and high-fiving and patting people on the back and people helping each other up because the prayer had been war. It had not just been prayer. It had been actually war going on, praying for those three things. And then the heavens opened. I saw the Lord, and he was standing there with angels behind him. And he said very clearly, "Arise, my bride, arise, my bride, arise, my bride, and prepare to pray. Arise, my bride, arise, my bride, arise, my bride, and prepare for battle." And then he said, "Arise, my bride, arise, my bride, arise, my bride, and prepare to see my face, for I am coming soon, and my reward is with me." And in that moment, it was like the sound of 1,000 shofars went off. I don't have any hair on my head, but in the dream, I could feel the wind. I could feel the wind of those shofars on my head. And then I woke up, and I was so peaceful. I was so peaceful that I shared that dream and heard from many, many people who said, "We need to, we need to pray." And I'm praying every day and doing a 3 to 5 minute prayer focus. I've been working with some people in South Carolina for a mandate in South Carolina. I've heard literally from thousands of people that have taken September and they're praying. Churches that are praying every single day, every single moment that they can, fasting and prayer. And so that dream then kind of keyed into some other things that were going on. Saturday night, July 25th, I saw the calendar fade from July to August. I saw the month of August through December. And each of those were highlighted. No finger appeared. But I saw just almost like the August, September, October, November, December. Those words just, they lit up. They were bright. They were bold. And they emphasized these months. And then I was walking near an abandoned slaughterhouse. My aunt used to live there, and I used to ride motorcycles and bicycles in the woods behind where the slaughterhouse was. And I'm walking by the slaughterhouse in my hometown, where I was actually living. I was there to preach in my hometown that night at Jacksonville Assembly of God. And so I was in town but had not gone anywhere near the slaughterhouse. And I see the slaughterhouse, and it's overgrown, weeds. It's boarded up. It's shuttered. And suddenly that thing comes to life. It was still ugly. It still had a useless appearance, but I could see inside that there were demons, and they were arming themselves. They were sharpening swords. They were putting on armor. They were smacking each other. They were trying to get each other going. And I realized in the dream I was watching demonic sleeper cells that were being ready to go out throughout the country. These demons were preparing to go out and do something to assault believers. And the mindset was, the Minneapolis, Portland, Seattle, what we're seeing right now, that's nothing compared to what's coming. Amen. But suddenly, all of these sleeper cells, these groups were just unleashed in groups. And the first volley, the first assault was going to be on ministers and Christian leaders in the area of sexual temptation, pornography, accusations. The spirits of lust and pornography were just being unleashed with relentless and vicious intent on pastors and Christian men and Christian marriages across the country. And I saw ministry marriages under attack and the need for Christian couples to focus on their prayer life as relentlessly because of the attacks that were coming. I saw the outline of the nation. I saw smoke rising from several outdoor funeral pyres. And I saw headlines that said sudden increases and nationwide suicide spike. And I believe those included also some Christian pastors, some ministers, some Christian leadership. I saw families gathered around each other. They were crying, they were sobbing, and they were angry, and they demanded the government fix the problem that was causing the suicides, which is namely the financial losses, the shutdowns, the forced evictions, job loss, depression spikes, drug overdoses, And there's been rampant increases in abuse, sexual, physical, emotional, mental abuse going on since everything shut down. And then I saw post offices. I saw shutdowns with the post office where they were only going to be open for 2 or 3 days. And I saw a field. It was like football fields full of those little post office trucks that deliver your mail to a mailbox if you live in a rural area. I saw them just not resting, but just they were sitting. They were just sitting there, not in action, not in work. They were just set up. And I saw a headline. I saw the Wall Street Journal headline. And it said, unemployment rate hits 50% plus. And the headlines also said there was no help from the government. And those headlines also spurred that the violence that was happening was against the government because they're the ones that shut stuff down. And that's my thinking there, not in the dream. But in the dream, the people were blaming the government for all those things that had happened. And then I see the crowds, and they become even more heinous, more violent. They're screaming. I see Molotov cocktails. I see people yelling, screaming. And that white figure appeared, and he said, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. And the emphasis was simply on the word brace, brace, brace. Then Monday night, August 10th, about a month ago, I had a dream. I saw October, the month of October. It was waving like it was being blown by a strong wind, not violently, not fitful, just kind of moving, just kind of, you know, easy, easy breeze. Saw that finger appear again. It pointed to the second week of October. It dragged its finger from the second week of October into the third week of October. And then it pointed to October 31st, and it pointed and held the finger on October 31st, which is the last Saturday of October and the weekend before the election. It did not move. It just stayed there. But then there was a prominent tap after it held that for a while. The prominent tap held that day. And then I saw a rock. A rock came flying out of the sky, and it landed in this large pond. And the ripples started off small, but then they became vicious waves. And then a wind began to blow harder and harder. And then I saw federally elected officials and specific state governors and agency leaders. And I saw local radicals from the cities. But what I saw was specific governors, specific leaders, specific locals, and each one of them had like a firecracker head. The federally elected officers had like an M80 type firework on their head. The governors, they had like the black cat firecrackers, not as big and heavy as the federal, but enough. And the radical people had like the lady fingers, the smaller fireworks that you see around July 4th. The facial images, these people were mad, and they began to yell and scream, almost like they were holding their breath, and their faces began to turn red because...
Could you recognize who some of them were?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Can you give us some names?
And I'd prefer not to. I've been offered money to say who the senators were. I don't want to name names. I know what I saw, and I think in the context of, as things play out, people will see exactly what's happening. I saw the first dream come true. I've seen elements of the second dream already start to come true. You've talked to people. You said a doctor that said, "Watch for something big coming." When were you in Mexico?
July.
Okay.
They said watch the middle of September through October for something huge to come. And this, I just was told the other night. I haven't said anything about it to anybody because I'd look for more confirmation. You mentioned a stone hitting in a body of water.
Yes.
I was told that there's a meteorite that is going to strike. They mentioned a couple of dates, but I don't pay attention to that until I get more confirmation. Could that be part of what you saw?
I'm not for sure. I've seen what NASA is saying, what the Chinese, the Canadian guys that work with astronomy are saying. I just know these folks, they're the wicks on those things were lit, and their faces went from normal to red face, almost like a jumping out of their mind primal scream, and then everything blew up. You know, they got lit. After the rock hit the water, and pretty soon, after their heads exploded, like the firecrackers, there was sparks and debris flying all over the area, and that started fires all around them. And then the protests took up another notch, and I saw protesters assaulting bystanders. And if you weren't violent enough in these dreams to be a part of that group, the protesters were attacking and beating on them, almost to say, you're not violent enough, you got to be mean or whatever. So those protests went on and on. And then I saw in the dream an attack on elderly and older Americans. I saw small groups of individuals knocking on doors, pretending to be vendors, there to help, and then just pummeling and attacking older people. I saw people going into nursing homes and attacking bedridden elderly folks. It was awful. And the anger against them was because they were constitutional-believing, Bible-believing Americans who were committed to faith and biblical principles. And then I saw a $100 bill hanging like a flag on a pole, and it was burning from one corner. And then it was being lowered as a tap. There was actually somebody playing taps in the background. And when it got to the very bottom, there was about only one third of that $100 bill left. But people were crying. I saw people with their hands or their hearts, almost like they were pledging to this dollar bill. I saw people crying because all their support they'd put in it was gone. And they were crying. And these people, but then I also saw people who were protected by bubbles of safety. They were in churches. They were praying. There's a small group, small churches. The people were kneeling, praying. They were wrestling in prayer. I mean, they were just the hands, the heart, the aggressive physical motions. They were praying. And I saw that these people were, although few in number, they had bubbles around them, almost like a bubble of safety. And the attacks on them, the constant, the witchcraft. I really, in my mindset, I did not see this, but I had the sense that there were covens of witches that were praying. You know, I've gotten letters from people who say they're witches and they're praying against me, praying against my family, praying against my church. And this has been the last just couple of weeks. I've had people who are very, very angry at me, threatening me, making comments. We're putting cameras up at my house and we have to get a security system now. Because of the chaos that the dream has brought, but there are people that are mad, but I saw these Christians who were doing their very, very best to be the ones that make it through the small gate, through the small fence to get to heaven, and they were kneeling most of the time. And then I saw puffed up pastors and prophets who were wearing very expensive suits, and they were preaching against the idea of persecution coming to church. Their voices were slurred like they were drunk, and they were preaching health and wealth, and none of these things are going to happen. None of these things are going to come. And let me assure you that after I posted this dream, my inbox for emails, letters, it jumped astronomically. I had pastors call me every name in the book. I've been cussed out, screamed at, and yelled at more in the last 9 weeks than in my entire lifetime. But as these guys were speaking, suddenly these pastors and prophets, their clothes began to disappear, almost like the emperor's new clothes. And then they were trying to cover their modesty, but they just kept puffed up. They kept preaching. They kept declaring all these things. And then I saw the rug pulled out from underneath them, and they went flying in the air, and money was flying in the air out of their pockets or out of what was they were still wearing. And when they landed on the ground, every single one of them bit parts of their tongues off. And the parts of their tongues went flying, and they're trying to grab their tongues and get them back, but they weren't. But they're on the ground, and now they're trying to cover themselves up. And then the scene went back to those that were praying, and the warfare was still very, very tense. But there was a strength present in those that were praying, and that's when I saw clowns in business suits, and these clowns were basically pouring buckets of oil and grease on the ground in front of the election venues. And there were signs that said the election weeks away, you know, make sure you vote. But these clowns were dancing and juggling and trying to get people to go not go into the polls to vote. And they put the oil in the grease and people were sliding past them. And anybody determined to get into that that venue to vote, man, these clowns became very, very unprofessional. They looked at you with suspicion, angst, and they were trying to grab people and pull them back. But there were people committed to getting in there, and they did. And then the last thing I saw in this dream was a billboard that said, Passover in 2021 will promise big things for the world. And that's really the first time in any of my dreams I've had a reference to the nations. Then I saw that white figure, and he spoke, and he said, do not stop bracing, for the storm will not pass until I stop the storm. So brace, brace, brace yourselves, and don't look back. And that led me to the one I had Monday night, August 17th. And I saw the calendar month of November, and it was bent, and it was torn, and it was dirty. I saw trees blowing. Most of the trees were leafless, but the trees that I saw were turned, like the rain was coming. And you know what I'm talking about, like that. The bottom lighter part of the leaf was showing. And I saw the finger appeared. It circled November 3rd in a continuous clockwise direction, and then suddenly it just changed and went counterclockwise. That's when I saw cities on fire. I saw a headline that read, Trump's victory challenged everywhere. And then I saw that on digital marquees. I saw television stations. I saw those things. Protesters were in the streets. They were asleep. They were weary. They appeared very dirty and dingy, like they had not slept or showered in weeks. And then suddenly I heard this bell ring loud and clear. And the protesters, man, they woke up like they'd been ready for something. And they started salivating, big buckets of saliva. Made me think of Pavlov's dogs and the experiment he did. But they're drooling so much it's on their shirts. And then they start screaming and yelling. They're getting violent about the election results. And I see people with guns, handguns, long, and they're just firing at random into the crowds because they are so angry over what's happened in November, whatever that might be. I saw a guy with a sign. Like a the end is near type thing. And it said, the obvious winner is not so obvious. And he held his head down in shame. But this crowd, they were frenzied. They were setting things on fire, blowing stuff up. They were just hitting each other in a wrath. And cities had pillars of smoke over them. I saw crumbled and burned out buildings in Washington, D.C. Not the monuments, but I saw buildings, businesses, commercial real estate on fire. And the headline said, rebuilding would take time and trust would take even longer, and the government could not do it in a timely fashion. At that moment, I saw a Treasury official who did one of those big eye winks at me in the dream and closed his right eye, held his mouth open and winked. I saw a Conestoga wagon like you see in Little House on the Prairie. Kamala Harris was driving it. It was led by two mules. Joe Biden was riding the one on the left. At her side, it was a mechanical, like a dynamite box. When you would push down and you would blow the rock to search for gold, I believe. But nonetheless, Kamala Harris is on there. The plunger is in an upright position. Wind blows back the Conestoga wagon, and I see there's cases of dynamite and some that's loose in a wicker basket. Harris is driving, but there's two mules, just two, and Joe Biden is riding the left mule. And then I see that they're starting to pick up speed, and she's whipping the mules and Joe Biden, and Joe Biden has no clue he's even being whipped. And then I see Hillary Clinton, and she's standing behind President Trump. He's on his knees. She has a Roman gladius to his neck, and that was what Roman soldiers used to wear on their hip. It was their up-close and personal weapon. Hillary Clinton was wearing a Wilma Flintstone type dress. It was not finished. It was ugly. It was gaudy. She had a big gaudy ring on her right index finger. She's holding that with that knife to President Trump's throat with her right hand, and she's like holding the back of his head, you know, and watching the Conestoga wagon coming. And her dress was unfinished. It wasn't. It looked like something you wouldn't even go out in public in. She also had a skeleton key hanging from her neck, and was dangling right in front of President Trump's eyes, and it had blood and black mold on it, and it had stained in front of her dress where it had that Nazi SS symbol that the Gestapo's, the stormtroopers, used to use in his armies, the brown shirts. It was just that, almost was like a piece, like a lightning strike. And Hillary is just giddy. She's excited because they're going to run over Trump and kill him or something, or blow him up. And I see Kamala Harris. She pushes the plunger and she jumps off of the Conestoga wagon.